All right, I'm Flex Pavilion.
Hello, this is Andrew W.K.
Yo, 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 it's Miles from Slack Stupid.
This is Ali.
This is Nick from Chuk Chuk Chuk.
What's up, guys? This is the Chain Smoker. Is the name of school from Ghost?
This is Beefcake the Mighty from Guar.
Hey, folks, we're Royal Blood.
And you're currently listening to Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions. Sound Sessions.
Sound what?
Sound Sessions.
Sound Sessions.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of Sound Sessions. Thank you.
Hi, this is Emily Haynes from Metric, and you're listening to Sound Sessions.
The group Metric has been on the radar since 1998. Starting in Canada, they've amassed a global audience and now jet-setting across the globe and perfecting their sound. Their latest album, Pagans in Vegas, was released September of last year, and you can catch them February 12th at Chicago's House of Blues. Sound Sessions is happy to welcome Emily Haynes of Metric. What's going on, Emily?
Hi, just getting ready to kick off.
So you're going to get started at the tour, and it's starting out here in Chicago. Now, what do you do to prepare yourself for a big tour like this?
Well, you know, we have it down to a bit of a science. There's a bunch of behind-the-scenes technical stuff that is a big part of our involvement. You know, we release our records ourselves, and we really run the whole live thing ourselves, too. So it's a pretty big operation. I don't know if people realize, like, you bring out about 10 people on the road. You know, there's a lot of trucks, a lot of lighting trusses, and a lot of design that goes into ideally making a show that will be really memorable and, you know, transcendent. We aim high with the concerts that we bring to our listeners. So we're really excited to start in Chicago, for sure.
Yeah, and you've been on such big tours before. I mean, you toured with Imagine Dragons, and you did so many awesome things with that tour as well. Have you kind of upped your game for this latest tour?
Yeah, so this one is taking across the U.S. and Canada, and we're in theaters in the U.S. and in arenas in Canada, so we'll get to do the whole spectrum, and it's exactly that. We built sort of a modular show that the beginning pieces, we got to work out some kinks last summer as a warm-up, and now this is our headlining tour for that record. So, yeah, it's gonna be cool to be in such beautiful rooms as well. I'm always torn because I love the theaters. But the things that you can get away with in terms of dramatic staging in arenas is also fun. I kind of love it all.
Mm-hmm. Now you've played here in Chicago before, and we are so stoked to have you back. What are your favorite places to play when you're here in the city?
I mean, we've played everywhere. We started at the Empty Bottle 10 years ago, right?
Wow.
I mean, this is the amazing thing. It's a bit lonely, I got to say, because there aren't that many bands out there anymore. We're definitely in like a pop moment. Mm-hmm. But one of the most amazing things that we're so grateful for and part of the spirit and meaning of our band, I mean, I think everyone who knows our music over the years gets this, but it really just, everything is more meaningful and more exciting when you've worked hard for it. So, you know, no one's ever had our music shoved down their throat. It's really something people discover, and it's so exciting to have gone from the tiniest clubs and, you know, now we've got a sold out show kicking off our tour. So it's just a nice feeling. We really, you know, there's a lot of love between us and our fans. It's a real relationship that goes back many years. So, and then it's always funny too when, like, somebody discovers the band. You know, we get people all the time on Twitter being like, I just found you. And then they get to discover all of this stuff that goes way back to, you know, 2003. So it's a journey. It's cool.
It's a very beautiful thing, especially when you're playing the Empty Bottle, such a small venue years ago, and now you're playing a big venue like the
right?
House of Blues that seats like, you know, 1,500 people or so. And you mentioned the fact that you do have a good connection with your fans. Your lyrics have this amazing deep connection. I remember the first time I listened to you, I was on a plane ride flying, I think, to London somewhere, and I listened to like three of your albums straight through, and you can really feel that sense of connection you have. So where does the inspiration come from writing these lyrics? Because it really hits you in a different way. Your use of metaphor and the way that you're able to, you know, interlace these kind of like, from your popular songs, like Beating Like a Hammer, people can really connect to that because that's the feeling you get when you listen to your music. I mean, where does this inspiration come from when you're penning down these lyrics?
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that it's connecting and you're paying attention to the lyrics. It's always a bit heartbreaking when you find out people don't. It's a big part of the spirit and the meaning of our band is like that it's a song that could maybe just go by and you're like, yeah, that's fine. But when you dig in, I've usually hidden some secret messages in there or some more content for people to delve into. So, I mean, I think the inspiration just comes from, you know, being alive, honestly. It's being with my band. We started this thing, Jimmy and I, when we were just kids, moved to New York and made our way from, you know, playing to 20 people in Los Angeles and working our way all the way up to, you know, playing Radio City here in New York and having Lou Reed on our album and join us on stage. And, you know, the inspiration just comes from pushing yourself and appreciating, you know, the connection that's possible through music. It's, you know, and I suppose I just romanticize another time, the people that I looked up to and still modeling my life after, you know, the time when artists really had a serious role to play in music and in culture. And, you know, I'm still just kind of pretending that's what's happening. You do get moments, right, where music really takes center stage and makes a difference in the world. But that's definitely what drives me, is feeling like, you know, when I meet people backstage and they've had our music with them through many chapters of their lives and it's still kind of giving them something. And we're all like growing up together, you know? Really, really beautiful thing.
It is so beautiful the way that you explain it that way. You know, another beautiful thing would probably be the fact that you mentioned you collaborated with Mr. Lou Reed. It was back in 2012 on Synthetica too, and I heard he played a few shows with you. What was it like meeting an idol like that?
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing because the way he connected with me was as a writer. That's the first thing he said to me was, "Ah, Emily Haynes, who would you rather be, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones?" Which is a line from our song "Gimme Sympathy," mm-hmm. and you know, I just kind of shot back like the Velvet Underground, you know.
That's awesome.
Really was chuffed by that, and yeah, I was very fortunate to play. Ian Laurie invited me to play with them in Australia at a festival that curated there at the Sydney Opera House, and then I was his backing band at an event in Central Park.
Wow.
Which was pretty crazy, just me and him. And yeah, then he came around to, you know, recording a song with us on our album and then being on stage with us playing Pale Blue Eyes and The Wanderlust. And sadly, we had a bunch of stuff lined up. We were going to do a thing together at Coachella and other recordings, and then we lost them. So I'm just very grateful that I got to meet him and also that he recognized the thing, you know, much as you have. I really appreciate you shouting out the writing, because that's what drives the whole thing. And I know there's the shorts and I know there's the synthesizers and there's all of that, but I'm really, the writing has always been number one for me. So yeah, to have someone of his stature recognize that, it was really great. Just miss the guy, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What do you do? All the legends are leaving us on Earth. It's kind of like nothing left, but little pop stars help.
I was just going to ask you about that, because we're losing all these amazing people that kind of just changed the music industry on its head. And I mean, is there anybody left that that's bad to say, but was there anybody that you are looking forward to meeting like down the road?
I know. Yeah, it sounds horrible. I know when you say, is there anybody left?
Yeah,
they're still around, and I've had the good fortune of crossing paths with Patti Smith and, you know, Debbie Harry, and you know, we hope that we can become that in our future for another generation. But I just wonder, with the way that we, you know, the way that concerts are now, with everyone filming everything, and the way that culture has kind of just become content, I don't know, is it possible to become someone like that anymore? Like, if we had endless piles of Google images of Lou from all those times when you know, they were being ignored and they were just doing their thing, would it have become legendary? I don't know. We're definitely in a whole new world. So I think there are great young people coming up who will kind of, they need to just break the internet and then we'll all be saved. That's what I think.
I like that a lot because you've been around before the times of when you can put a song up on YouTube and you can get famous in 2 seconds. How has that music industry changed? I mean, do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Or are we just going to go into a mass destruction as far as the music industry?
Right? I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating because you have, you know, Adele's, you know, masterful move, so talented, amazing thing to just withdraw completely from the world of streaming and sort of have one last hurrah for the old school model. It's amazing to have a one-off exception like that, but for the rest of all of the rest of us, streaming is just, it's coming for us. I don't see where else we can go. I think once Apple launched streaming, it's just like, okay, this, how's this going to play out? You know, and you're right, to have been around from before all these changes, which we really embrace, because we saw it as, you know, we thought that the internet was going to be, you know, a big force for good, for, you know, democratizing distribution. And I think we all had a lot of big ideas about the internet saving the world. And power has definitely changed hands. It's just, who did it? It's kind of like it changed hands over our heads.
Yeah.
So I do think something's got to give, right? People still love music. They're still paying for it. They're just not paying who they think they're paying. So it's a confusing time. And I just hope that, like, younger kids will realize what they're missing out on when you film the whole show, you know, which we never, it's like, whatever you want to do, man, at our concerts, go ahead.
Yeah.
I still remember days when, you know, you played a show, doors closed, and it was just whoever's in that room, we owned that time. And so many amazing, crazy things went down at those shows, and it saddens me to think there's a whole generation that will never feel that freedom, you know, of a rock and roll show where, like, you go in there 2 hours later, who knows what went on, but then, you know, you own that time. So, I'm really optimistic. Like, I really think there's always progress, and there are always people who will come back to what human beings need, which is that connection that we look for through music, you know? That's never going to go anywhere.
That's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment, because you think to yourself back in the 60s, you think the Doors would be doing the things that they would do. Jim Morrison would be sprawling on the stage and everything if somebody had a camera in his face the entire time.
Right?
Yeah, I don't think that would happen very much.
There's no way, because it's also, yeah, you're right, and it's the end of contact. Like, I've noticed my behavior and my ability to be off the cuff, it's just not worth it to say something in the moment that is, before I've even left the stage, has already been posted and somebody can already take out of context. And, you know, we've seen, like, vigilante Twitter throwdowns. It's just like, you know what? I have a family. I have a life. I don't know. It's not worth it to me, you know? But I do think we're missing out from the, you know, some of the original spirit of what concerts were. You know, it's like, you know, you buy your ticket and you buy your way into a one-off experience that nobody can have unless they're in that room. And now it's very different. So I'm so excited, though, to see how things will change. Like, I feel lucky that we're around for the last gasp of the past, so to speak. But how exciting to live in this time when things are changing so quickly, and ideally we can play a positive part, you know, make a contribution somehow. So I think it's important not to just hide in the past. That's not doing anybody any favors.
Exactly. You got to embrace the future at one point, and I think that's what you guys are doing. That's why everyone's so excited to see your show on February 12th here at the House of Blues. Before I let you go, by the way, thank you for your time today here on Sound Sessions. I did want to know, what places do you like to hit up when you're here in the city, like to take a break?
Well, you know where we always end up going, and it came to us through our friend Kevin Drews, who was in a band called Broken Social Scene.
Yeah.
Working at studios there in Chicago, right? So, you know, and like the whole Kate and crew and all those good people, great musical history in Chicago. So we always end up going to a VAC, which is a great spot. So if anyone wants to find us, we'll probably be hanging out there for the show.
Very nice, very nice. So everyone, go out, go there, and say hi to Emily for us, and enjoy the show, which is on February 12th at the House of Blues. You can also catch her album, Metric's album, Pagans in Vegas, which is out now. Emily, cannot thank you enough for joining us here on Sound Sessions, and I hope you have a great rest of your tour.
Thank you, thanks, Michael. I enjoyed the deep conversation. Anytime.
This is Sound Sessions, your voice for Chicago music.
Can't get enough of Sound Sessions? Like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter @SoundSeshPod, and check us out on Instagram @SoundSessionsWGN.